Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom. I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches Scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints. Greetings to all of you. Those of you who are joining us online, we certainly appreciate you joining in with us. Tonight, we are continuing in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Numbers. And we're going to be talking about inheritance rights and laying on of hands, looking at Numbers chapter 27, verses 1 through 23. So those are that will be the focus, the verses that we'll be focusing on, the topic that we will be talking about, and just encourage you to take some good notes. We're going to share some things with you today, and hopefully you'll see things, get some ideas, be inspired, and whatever inspiration you get, you want to make sure that you record it. Tonight at sunset, or today at sunset, we entered in day two of the biblical month, and each month we pray for the harvest, and that's our corporate prayer. And we're actually encouraging people to share during this time. As you're praying, make sure you're also sharing for those who are interested, especially if you're posting anything online. You can invite people to submit specific requests if they choose to. They know you're praying. But also take the time to share your faith with these individuals that you're praying for. Now, I suspect that many of you are doing that, but if you're praying for individuals and the opportunities present themselves for you to share your faith with them, make sure you do that. And so from beginning at sunset tonight to sunset tomorrow, we will be praying and encouraging you to share with individuals. And so we'll talk a little bit more about announcements as we finish this teaching. For those of you who are joining us on YouTube and you have questions, or if you're joining us on Facebook and you have questions, we're going to encourage you to come over to arthurbaileyministries.com to submit your prayer request. But while you're on YouTube or Facebook, we encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can watch us on YouTube, check out our shorts and our videos there on YouTube. And of course, if you're on Instagram, we encourage you to subscribe there. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course, subscribe to YouTube. And by all means, make sure you subscribe to our website. Now, I know we're asking for a lot of subscriptions, but there are a variety of means and methods by which people are being communicated to and reached. And what we're sharing and displaying here is a small amount of platforms. And so take advantage of the platforms that have all of these people out there sliding and scrolling and trying to read other people's posts. In the midst of them reading all of that nonsense, you can post something that has significance. And so we encourage you to use these platforms to minister, to share the good news, the gospel that Yeshua preached with those, especially those that you're praying for. Amen. At the end of the teaching today, you're going to be given an opportunity to ask questions, to receive prayer, and of course, to give. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings: I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here tonight. We're so thankful for your presence with us here. And we invite you to have your perfect way in us. We want your will to be done. We want your kingdom to be established in the midst of us, in the earth as it is in heaven. And so have your way here tonight. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us the ability to comprehend those things that you show us and speak to us about. Show us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. Forgive us for our transgressions, our sins, any act of disobedience. We pray that you forgive us and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We also ask that you would create in us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. We decree that no weapons formed against us shall prosper, but for your perfect will to be accomplished in the midst of us tonight. We bind every work of the enemy, and we pray, Father, for not only those who are here, but those who are joining us online, those who will watch this video at a later date, that your presence permeate our presence, that you move, that you heal, that you deliver, save. Let your will be accomplished, whatever it is, in whomever life, Father, that shall tune in. We pray that a word at that moment will be spoken to them. And it will be that word, Father, that they need to hear at that moment that will draw them closer to you. So again, be glorified in us. Be glorified in this time in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. So again, we're in Numbers chapter 27. We're looking at verses 1 through 23. We're talking about inheritance rights and laying on of hands. Now, inheritance rights are birthrights that are of serious concern to Jehovah. And we can go all the way back when, you know, Esau sold his birthright to his brother for soup. And we saw how the Almighty was not pleased with Esau because of what he did. Birthrights are something that we should be honored, one, to have. It is established by the Almighty, and we should take it serious. Why? Because Jehovah takes it serious. And the most serious of birthrights that we have is those who have been born from above, those who have been born again, those who have come into the knowledge of who the Almighty is through Messiah Yeshua and have committed our ways to him, whereas we become his sons and daughters led by his Spirit. And this is our birthright, even as we discussed last week concerning inheriting the kingdom. We inherit everything that our Father has, and we want to make sure that we are taking our inheritance rights, our birthrights, serious, because they are serious concerns to Jehovah. In this particular passage, which was introduced even last week, a unique situation arises where Moses has to seek Jehovah's face for instructions on what to do. Now, from time to time, situations would arise to where Moses would have to go and inquire of Jehovah. There were things that the Almighty had communicated to Moses, that Moses was to speak to the children of Israel. But then there were situations to where inquiries were made. Moses did not have an answer, had not received a commandment concerning that. And therefore, he would inquire of Jehovah, and Jehovah would instruct him what to do concerning that situation. Moses is also informed that his life is coming to an end, and the reason why. Then Moses receives instructions from Jehovah on who will be the new leader that will succeed him and the process for positioning his successor for success. And that's the thing that we see. Father definitely wants us to be successful. And if we do what he's instructed us to do, and those who come behind us, we should want to be successful even as he want them to succeed. The event in the first part of this chapter, as I stated, were put on the radar in the previous chapter. If you remember last week, when Moses was instructed on having to do a second count, we looked at how many individuals that were in Israel's new army because of the promise, the breach of promise, particularly when Jehovah was angry with the children of Israel because they went, they reconnaissed the land, came back with an evil report, and he swore that they would not enter into the land, that those who were 20 years older and above at that particular moment, they would not enter into the land. Their carcasses would fall in the wilderness, and for 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness. But in Numbers chapter 26, during this numbering, Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons. This in Numbers 26:33. He only had daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And so we see there are five young ladies that Zelophehad had, but he had no sons. And in verse 52, it says, and Jehovah spoke, going back to Numbers 26, verse 52, says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. And so what we see in this particular passage, that during the numbering of the army, or those who are 20 years and older, that among those particular tribes, and it specifically spoke concerning males, that the land would be divided among them. In verse 54, it says, to many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give the less inheritance. And so the land would be divided based on the number of individuals in that particular tribe and in that particular family. To everyone shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Numbers 26:55. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot according to the names of the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. And we looked at those tribes that would actually inherit land in the land of Israel. Verse 56, according to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. So the larger the family, the more land, the larger the tribe, the more land they receive. The land was to be divided among sons, according to the understanding of Zelophehad's daughters, and the way the passage is written, leaving the daughters without an inheritance if there were no brothers to inherit their father's land. And this is why we're talking about inheritance rights. See, the law of the land is established in this particular chapter where it says, then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. So we know that Joseph had two sons. One name was Manasseh. The other was named Ephraim. And in this particular case, he's dealing with the son Manasseh and his descendants. And these are the names of his daughters. Again, he mentions the name of the daughters. So he had five daughters. He had no sons. In verse 2, it says, and they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregations by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying. Now understand something. Everybody is aware that there is a process going on. All of the tribes are assembled for numbering, and Moses and Eleazar, Aaron's son, who is the high priest at this time, is doing the numbering. The idea or the instructions is that you're going to number the males. And so each tribe would be numbered by males. Now, when Zelophehad's daughters looked around and said, hey, you know, we're females, that means we're going to be left out. What are we going to do? Everybody around us is going to inherit land, but because my father had daughters, we will inherit nothing. And they came to the conclusion that something is wrong about this. And then they took this matter to Moses and the priests before the princes and the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is what they said. Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves against Jehovah in the company of Korah. Now, remember last week we looked at Korah, and Korah died along with other Reubenites, including Dathan and Abiram, and the Bible says that Korah's sons did not die because of the sins of their father. So Zelophehad's daughter specifically points out Korah and the fact that her father died not because of that situation, but he died because of his own sin, and he had no sons. So the first question is, or the thought, he was not amongst those that rebelled with Korah, but then died of his own sin, which means what was his sin? Now, it's not mentioned here, but the national sin at that time was the rebellion that took place when Jehovah swore those who sinned that were 20 years old and older would die in the wilderness and not enter the land of promise. So it stands to reason that their father was one of those at the time when Jehovah said their carcasses would fall in the wilderness because of their sin. In verse 33 of chapter 14, it is written, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms. until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, and even 40 days each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities. Even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. So Father had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with the intent that he's going to take them into the land of promise. And he now, because of their rebellion, he keeps his word, but those who rebelled do not inherit the promise. They, as the daughter of Zelophehad said, he died because of his own sin. And because of his sin, here it is, he don't have sons, but he have daughters. And because of his sin, his daughters are going to suffer. And Korah's sons didn't suffer because of their father's sins, which, so why should we suffer? Why, verse 4, should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he has no sons? It's not a sin not to have sons. We're suffering because he has no sons, and now his name is going to be done away among his family. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our fathers. And so what do? They make a demand that they, their daughters, the daughters of their father, should have the same inheritance rights as men who had sons. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our fathers. Now, Moses didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. So he does what? He brought their cause before Jehovah. Now, if you can imagine, they're the princes. There's Moses. There's Eleazar. These five daughters come up to the tabernacle while they're in session, take the floor, and say, hey, something is not right here. Moses now leaves the congregation or the princes, and he brings this matter before Jehovah, which says to me, Moses went inside the tabernacle, possibly into the holy place, had a conversation with the Almighty, and then the Almighty speaks unto Moses, and this is what he says. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass unto them. Now, Jehovah had told Moses concerning the land and concerning the sons that they would receive an inheritance. Jehovah ruled in favor of the daughters and established a statute as a result of the decision, and we'll see that in a moment. Jehovah declared the daughter spoke what was right. That's the first thing. My question, what if they had not spoken up and made their petition known? That's the issue. If they'd have been quiet. Now, I say this because there are so many people who purpose in their minds that ain't no point in saying something because that's how they're going to respond. And so they've already defeated themselves in their own heads. I can't tell you how many people who are apologizing because they have to work on the Sabbath. And I ask them, have you asked your boss for the Sabbath off? They won't give it to me. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know. Well, how do you know? Because if you haven't asked, then no, they're not going to give it to you. They're not going to volunteer you to have the Sabbath off. They don't know that's something you want. You have to make your request known. And if these daughters would have just watched what was going on, stayed quiet, they would have been landless. Being afraid of how someone may answer is not justification for not making your request known. You won't know the outcome until you step up and speak. And this is a problem that many, especially the timid, for whatever reason, they're not being heard. I don't know why, but that's the situation. And so I'm encouraging people to speak up, especially for what you believe is right, according to Jehovah's words. Not only do this take place in the secular realm, but there's also people who are sitting under teachings that they know ain't right and are quiet for whatever reason. Opportunities to ask questions and butterflies, nervousness, fear, so they don't. And they keep sitting under it and hearing things and knowing something is not right, but afraid to speak out or ask questions about what is being communicated. But when the Almighty said that Zelophehad's daughters were right, then he also presented a ruling, but this ruling presented another issue that would be addressed later on the account of Zelophehad's daughters. Since Jehovah had instructed Moses that the women might inherit their father's land, new questions arose. What will happen to the family lands if these daughters marry among other tribes? Will not the original intention of the first provision be frustrated? These questions led to the decision that marriage is to be kept within one's own tribe amongst daughters who inherited their father's tribal land, so that the family allotments will not pass from tribe to tribe. And we find this in Numbers chapter 36. Now, we're going to jump ahead a little bit. We'll address this later, but we're going to jump ahead for this purpose, because in this 27th chapter, we saw that it was introduced in the 26th chapter, but it created some issues that comes out in the 36th chapter. And in the 36th chapter, verse 1, it says, "And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said," now, "Jehovah commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Jehovah to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers? And shall be put into the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance." Now, what that meant is if they marry somebody from a different tribe and that person came into that marriage in that tribal land, does the tribal name of the person who married Zelophehad's daughters inherit now the land from that tribe? That became the issue. "And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers." Now understand something. First of all, land can't be moved. Houses can be moved, tents can be moved, animals and people, but you can't dig up tribal land and put it in another tribal area. So basically, for that to happen, there would be a redistricting, a redrawing of land. And if this land was in the center, then in the center of the Manasseh tribe would be now another tribal land that was not part of the tribe of Manasseh. And whether you know it or not, this stuff happens in nations where some nations have tribal land or national land in the land that belongs to another nation. And this is common when it comes down to ambassadors, when it comes down to sending out representatives from one country to another country, to where you have these places that the ambassadors live in that now become United States territory. The embassies become territories of another nation in another nation. So if you're in China and you have an embassy in China, that embassy in the land of China becomes American territory. So if an American who's in China enters into the embassy in China, they're no longer in China. They are now in America, in China. So these things occur on a number of different levels. And basically what you have is the acquisition of land taken from one people and given to another people. And in this case, by marriage. So Jehovah says in verse 5, and Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of Jehovah. So he went and he inquired of Jehovah. And now he's commanding according to the word of Jehovah, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph hath said well. This is the thing which Jehovah does command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best. But here's the condition. Only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. So they have to marry into tribe. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from one tribe to from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. So in order to keep there from being disputes among tribes according to land, tribes had to marry intertribal. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the children of Israel shall be wife unto one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his fathers. Neither shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep himself to his own inheritance. Now, when you look at all that is going on in the Torah concerning the land of Israel, and you look at what's going on in the land of Israel now, one has to come to the conclusion that when it comes to the land, Jehovah's instructions are not being observed. In fact, there is no tribal land division in the land of Israel this day. And part of getting around that is by declaring all tribes Jews, which is not according to the instructions that the Almighty has established. So by doing things the way it is being done is not being done according to the Torah, which means another way now is being applied that makes the Torah of no effect. These are the kinds of things that were taking place in Yeshua's day. These are the kinds of things that are taking place on so many levels in the land of Israel. And people who stand with Israel don't even realize that what sometimes they're standing for is not in accordance to that which is written. Now, I'm not trying to stir nothing up. I'm simply pointing out that people are living in lands who don't even know what tribe they are, because they're all identifying themselves as Jews. Now, what's really interesting is there are two groups of people that pretty much seems to identify with the fact that they're either Cohen or Kohanim, meaning that they're from the tribe of Levi. So when a person identified themselves as a Cohen, they're identifying themselves as one who is of the tribe of Levi. Now, a Cohen was not given tribal land and could stay within any of the tribes, but were given land among the tribes. And then the other group are those who identified themselves as being part of Judah. Now, Judah had a geographical location in the south of Israel. It has no right in the north of Israel because now you've got other tribes and along with Benjamin. And so when people identify, and of course we know that during the time of Paul exclusively identified himself as from the tribe of Benjamin. He knew what tribe he was from. And of course, Anna, the prophetess, knew she was from the tribe of Asher. And so people knew their tribal names or their tribal inheritance, but when it comes down to the tribal land, Torah is not being observed. In fact, in various ways, Torah is being ignored among the chosen people. Zelophehad's daughters did as Jehovah commanded. Zelophehad's daughters, who were concerned for their father's name and their own place in the land, obeyed Jehovah's words. In verse 10, continuing in Numbers 36, even as Jehovah commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Famala, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad were married unto their father's brother's sons. So what do? They married their cousins. And they were married unto the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. So the daughters of Zelophehad received an inheritance. The tribal land remained in each clan and each tribe. And when it comes down, as was mentioned concerning the Jubilee, which was every 50th year, any tribal people who had lost their land in their tribal land, that land now was restored to that family. That was the whole point of the Jubilee, that during that 50th year, all land rights, all inheritance rights will be returned to the family. And this is established because the bottom line is Jehovah owned the land. He established who was given to. And I believe to this day, because when we look at Revelation and what is taking place in the end times, the tribes are mentioned by name. They're given prominent places in the new city as far as it concerns the gates and the foundations being among the apostles and the tribes. Then we see that I would dare say that the land is going to be properly divided as the Almighty intended. Back to Numbers 27. And you shall speak unto the children of Israel, saying, so now here's the statute. If a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Now notice what is here that is rarely identified or recognized in Judaism and in Messianic Judaism, and that is the rights of daughters. The rights of daughters. When it comes down to the inheritance, the daughters have the same rights. If their fathers bore them, because these daughters receive an inheritance. If a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance unto his brethren. And if he have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman that is next to him of his father, and he shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as who commanded? Jehovah commanded Moses. So this is a direct command that comes from Jehovah. And this statute of judgment is a manner of deciding a case. In other words, they brought this matter before Moses. Moses took it before Jehovah. Jehovah issued a ruling, and that ruling was declared, and then it was made into law as a statute that other cases will be judged. And typically, these issues didn't come up until the land changed hands, and when it came down to the year of Jubilee, where the land had to be returned to its tribal family. Jehovah's succession plan for Moses. So once again, just pointing out that in this particular case, these daughters had as much inheritance right as a man who had sons. There's no discrimination here from Jehovah between male and female. Verse 12, Numbers 27. And Jehovah said unto Moses. So now Jehovah turns his focus to Moses to deal with Moses because of a previous issue that had not been dealt with, that needs to be dealt with because Jehovah said. And so Jehovah said unto Moses, get up unto this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Aaron and Moses now find themselves, or they did earlier, rebelled against Jehovah. And Jehovah brings it up here in chapter 27, although it happened way back in chapter 20. He says, for you rebelled against my commandment, or it happened before chapter 20, but he says, for you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. So the incident of Moses' rebellion as a result of his lack of faith. And so, yes, it's in chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So we see that there's a gathering of the congregation against Moses and against Aaron. And of course, this is after Miriam had died. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before Jehovah. And why have you brought up the congregation of Jehovah into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Now, they're looking at Moses as if he is responsible for their situation. They are not looking at the fact that Moses is simply a servant of the Almighty that is following the Almighty's leading, but because these people are looking to Moses and not to Jehovah, they're now focusing their anger at Moses, but inadvertently, they're focusing their anger at Jehovah. And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt? Made us to come into this evil place. It is no place of seed, no figs, no vines, no pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron did what? They went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of Jehovah appeared unto them. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, so who's there? Both Moses and Aaron. He says, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now, this rod was kept in the holy of holies, along with the manna and the book. So Moses has to go in, get the rod, come out, and in front of the assembly, he has to go and speak unto a rock in front of the assembly, and it will give water. And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Simple instructions. And Moses took the rod from before Jehovah, as he commanded him. And Moses also gathered the congregation together before the rock. And then he said unto them, and here's where you hear Moses' frustration. Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? So he's asking a question. Now, none of this was part of Jehovah's instructions, but when you're dealing with rebellious people and those rebellious people's spirit get on you, or you are not guarded in your heart, then what happens is that the spirit that is on them can transfer to you. And this is what you have to guard against. But the only way to guard against someone else's spirit dominating your spirit is that you are guarded. Moses wasn't guarded. This word rebel is to be contentious, to be rebellious. It's used as rebel, as rebellious, as provoked, disobedient, disobeyed. I mean, it's got all of these usages for this word, Mara. And of course, it was named, in this case, is Meribah, but in another place is water, where Moses hit the rock and it came out, I believe. Yeah. Moses' transgression was an act of belief caused by frustration from the rebellious people he was leading. And this is why, brothers and sisters, when you are a leader, there are people out there who are many people who may think, or there are people who think that they will be a better leader than you until they're put in a position to lead. It's easy to be critical of someone else's leadership until you become that leader. And now you have to put your mouth, you have to put your actions where your words are. If you say you can do it, and now you're in that position, because some things you don't see, some things you don't feel, some things you don't experience, some things, Father, don't reveal to you. There are things, just like with Moses. Moses went in and he inquired of the Almighty. These people brought Moses a problem. They didn't go to the Almighty. They went to Moses. Moses went to the Almighty. That's what we all should do. When we have a problem, that's the first place we should go, because we have access. What's the point in having access and then invited to come boldly into his presence, to where not taking advantage of that access, not going boldly, but going to Moses or Moses' equivalent? Now, I know that from time to time, it's like, okay, I've gone to him, I haven't heard anything, I'm not sure, and so I'm looking for someone who I believe may know how to hear his voice on my behalf. And my thing is that if Father is not speaking to you, then you have to ask yourself why. Now, these are just common sense kinds of responses. I know that would be the case for me. Now, you may say, well, you're the leader, brother. You're the one who preached. You're the one who got that relationship with the Almighty. Well, my relationship with the Almighty is no, it shouldn't be any different than anybody else's relationship with the Almighty. It's a matter of what kind of commitment to the Almighty do you have? What is your level of commitment? And are you consistent in your commitment? Because it's one thing to look at me or someone else, but you don't know what me or someone else is doing in order to have that kind of ability and favor with the Almighty. And instead of judging and complaining, one should learn and be discipled. The problem with many people is that they don't want to be discipled. You can't disciple people who don't submit to discipleship. People who refuse to disciple or be discipled, many of them will judge the discipler, but they don't have the right capacity or insight to even judge. And so you have to be mindful, especially when it comes down to how to deal with leadership. Now, and I'm saying leadership in the sense that there are people who are in leadership that may not necessarily be leaders. So just because someone has a title don't necessarily mean that they are a leader. A leader is going to be known and seen by their quality of leadership. And this is one of the reasons why we established discipleship and leadership. So you have some measurements that are found in the Bible in order to be able to identify those who are leadership quality and those who are supposed to reflect being what it means to be discipled. Take advantage of that. And so Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. And did he do what Father said? No. He smote the rock. What did Father tell him to do? He said, speak, speak, and speak you unto the rock before them. Speaking and hitting it is not the same. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when Father give you instructions, it's important that you follow his instructions. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Follow it as he's given. And if you're not sure, ask for clarification. Don't question him. Ask questions of him. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses. Now, after he hit the rock twice. Now, here's the beauty, you know, as rebellious as Moses may have responded, Father met the needs of his people, even in Moses' rebellion. He told him to speak the rock. Moses hit the rock. Water came out of the rock. Who made the water come out of the rock? Jehovah. Was it because Moses hit the rock? No. Because Father wanted to give his people and their beasts something to drink. He gave Moses instructions. If Moses had spoken to the rock, the same one who made the water come out of the rock when he hit it could have made the water come out of the rock when he spoke to it. But Moses' actions drew attention to him, because notice what Father said to him. Speak to the people, and it shall give water to them. Speak to them. Do this in front of them. It's going to bring water out for them. And what it's ultimately going to do is bring honor to the Almighty. Because when we look at Father's response to Moses, it did not. Which means that the people saw what Moses did to bring out of the rock. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not. Now there's the heart of the issue. For whatever reason, Moses and Aaron did not believe. Now, that's a tough one. that they didn't believe, but their actions proved they didn't believe. See, people can tell you and say what they want, but their actions will show you who they are. Actions do speak loud. And sometimes actions speak louder than words. Because you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses' act of rebellion disqualified him from his leadership position. This is the water of Meribah because the children of Israel strove with Jehovah and he was sanctified in them. Now, Moses allowed the strife of the congregation against Jehovah himself and Aaron to affect his actions, causing him to rebel against the instructions of Jehovah. Now, I know how easy that can happen, because when people are people, you know, I've had to make some decisions long time ago to where, you know, I'm called to do what I'm called to do, regardless to who shows up. But sometimes, and these are issues that ministers have, you can get angry at people and start preaching at the people who aren't even here that you're angry at, while the people who are here need ministry. But instead of ministering to the people who are visible, who are here, preachers are preaching angry at the people that aren't here. And you have to be careful, too, when you hear a message and you think, man, such and such should be here. They need to hear this message. Well, maybe you need to hear it, too. And maybe you need to hear it in such a spirit to where when you do come in contact with such and such, you can minister what you heard that they should have heard to them in a way that ministered to them, not in a way that condemns them because they weren't here to hear it. See, this thing manifests itself in a variety of ways, and you have to be mindful. Because I've caught myself preaching angry. Sometimes it comes out. Sometimes people, because of what they have gone through and what they see and folks that they've had to deal with, and then they get the opportunity to minister, and you can feel it coming out at them. Sometimes a minister could be mad at his wife, and while he's preaching, that anger comes out, and it's directed at her, mad at somebody else, and it comes out, and it's directed at them, mad at somebody in the congregation, and they're preaching, create a whole sermon for one person. Now, you give the people what Father gives you. And as he spoke to Moses, and Moses went and did what Father told him not to do and not what Father told him to do, and it cost him. Don't let your rebellion cost you. If you are a minister, if you are a leader, give the people what Father gives you. And by all means, try to give it to him in his spirit, not yours. Moses' rebellion disqualified him and cost him to be unable to fulfill his mission. You see, Moses became rebellious against Jehovah while dealing with rebellious people. So what do you see? The rebellion on the people jumped on Moses and caused Moses to rebel. And you say, well, how can you prove that? Well, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, as they say. Look at what Moses did. Why did Moses do it? Because the people were rebelling. But why did Moses rebel? Because the people were rebelling. But why did Moses rebel? He had no reason to rebel against Jehovah unless he picked up on the rebellion of the people, and that rebellion caused him to rebel. No man is above the law. No man is above the commandments. Moses, nor Aaron, the high priest, or anyone else is above the law of Jehovah. All men will have to give an account unto Jehovah, even Moses. Verse 15. And so Moses spoke unto Jehovah, saying, Let Jehovah, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Jehovah be not as a sheep which have no shepherd. Now, it's interesting, Moses' choice of words. Why? Shepherd, to pastor, tend, graze, feed, to lead, to tend, to pastor, to shepherd, of ruler, of teacher. And then the usage to feed, shepherd, pastor, herdman, keep, companion. But notice, what is interesting is Moses' word choice. Let not the people be a people which have no shepherd. No shepherd, or not having a shepherd, is the same word for wander, which is what the people had done for 40 years. Now, Moses was with them, but Moses was simply leading them as the Almighty led them as they wandered in the wilderness. They were wandering as a sheep without a shepherd. That's what the word says, wander, ra-ha. That's the same word as shepherd, or to be lacking a shepherd. This is the issue Yeshua looked when he saw, and he wept over Jerusalem, how they were a people who had no shepherd. Even though they were in a place and it looked like they had it going on, they were wandering in the sense that they were lost. They were not being led to that place where the psalmist says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and we shall not want. See, he's the one who's doing the leading. And in this particular case, because of his breach of promise, he led them in the wilderness until their carcasses fell dead. And Moses is saying to the Almighty, don't let this next generation be like that. And so, again, verse 14, Numbers 14, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness after the number of the days in which you search the land. That word for wander is the word for no shepherd. Verse 18, Numbers 27. And Jehovah said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, remember we read earlier, Joshua was Moses' minister, but now Jehovah is about to elevate Moses' minister to become the leader of Israel. Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Now remember, Father took the spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. And Joshua was one of them. This word charge, to command, to give orders, to give charge over, to appoint, to commission. These are all words found in that word, that Hebrew word for charge. And you shall put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim, before Jehovah, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel, with him, even all the congregations. So, as we see, the high priest was over the tabernacle. Moses, and now Joshua, was over the people. And Moses did as Jehovah commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And then he laid hands upon him and gave him a charge as Jehovah commanded by the hand of Moses. So Moses laying hands on Joshua in front of all the congregation was to give him a charge. Give him a charge was a transference of some of his honor
as commanded in verse number 20. And then we're going to close with Paul's words to Timothy, because we see a correlation. He says, Timothy, I charge you. And this is what Moses is doing with Joshua in front of all the congregation, according to Jehovah's commands. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord, Yeshua Messiah, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And then he says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. And so, you know, when it comes down to ordinating, when it comes down to establishing leaders, it's important, especially if you're going to be ordaining and giving charge, that individuals that you ordain and give charge is going to follow the instructions that they've been charged with. In order to be a leader, you have to. Now, Moses was the one Jehovah chose to go into Egypt and bring the children out of Egypt in order to bring them in the land. Moses chose Joshua as his minister. But even though Moses chose Joshua as his minister, Jehovah chose Joshua as the new leader. Now, if you go back, you'll see that Joshua and Caleb were the ones who were focused on the commands of Jehovah. And that's one of the things about a leader, is a leader must be focused on the commands of Jehovah. With that, we'll pick this up next week as we go into chapter number 28. Father, we just thank you for our time here again tonight. We pray for your glory to be revealed, for your purpose and your presence to be made known, and for people to see and to recognize what it is that you require of them, especially those that you have called to be leaders. Help us to recognize the value and the seriousness of the inheritance that you have given us as your sons and daughters in the earth, that we may occupy, that we may take possession, that we may declare and walk in your divine given authority, walking in power, that we may inherit the land, that we may take possession. And not only that, Father, that we may set others free, minister to them as you have commissioned us, bringing glory and honor and your kingdom here in the earth, even as Yeshua said, let your kingdom come. And so we thank you that you've given us leaders, you've given us shepherds after your own heart, and we desire to do your will, for you to be glorified. And wherever we fall short, wherever we are missing or lacking, Father, we pray that you reveal it to us and then help us to shore up those areas. Be glorified again in us, in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. All right. At this time, we're going to give you opportunity to ask questions, to get clarification. Where there's a need for clarification, then please take advantage of this time. Do we have any questions, any comments? None at this time. All right. Then just let's give you opportunity to give first. Father, we just thank you for this time to give. We ask your blessings upon the givers as well as the gifts. Let none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven to be open, blessings in abundance poured out on your people, so much so that none will go without, and that your people not only will be blessed, but be a blessing. Thank you. Amen. For those of you who desire to support our ministry, we encourage you to do so on our website. Now, did I hear you correctly that the chat was not working? Do we have any YouTube responses. Okay. All right. If in any reason you submitted a response or a question and we don't see it, remember that on our website, you can also submit your responses and requests by going to our website. Let's see, it should be there somewhere. Yeah. And either in the About section, you'll find the Contact Us. You can submit your questions, all your requests, whatever it is, send it to us, and we'll respond as quickly as possible. For those of you who would like to support our ministry, you can go to the Donate section on our website. There are ways to give that you can give to support our ministry. You can give without incurring any fees through Bill Pay, Zelle, Cash App, Venmo. You can send check or money order in the mail. You can give with fees using PayPal Us. You can click the link there. You can text in any of those areas that you would like to give. Simply complete that in the line that gives you an opportunity to make comments. And if you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link, and that link will take you to our Canadian office. There you can give through the Great Commission Foundation, which we are an agency of, and then you'll receive charitable letters from them. They're in Canada. You can file it on your income tax. Amen? If there are no other comments or questions, then let me just share with you a few announcements. Of course, we're looking forward to the early feast, and we're encouraging people to register right there on the watch page. If you're on the watch page on our website, right above the watch page, you'll see Passover and Unleavened Bread, and you can click that link, and it'll give you an opportunity to register. And no, we do not know the dates yet, but we know that those dates will be revealed to us in a couple of months, and we'll know exactly when Passover is. But you can register, and when the dates are known, we'll make them known to you. And so I'm encouraging folks, especially ministers, to make arrangements to be here, because I want to spend some time with you. We're going to take this minister training to another level, and the whole point is to encourage and, you know, encourage people to just step out and do what Father is calling you to do, because you are needed. As sunset tonight, we are praying. We continue to pray for the souls, especially family members and people that we care about and that we love, the souls of the nation. And we know that Father said through Messiah that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we need laborers. But not only are we praying for souls, we're praying and we're taking it to another level in sharing our faith with other people. And so we encourage you to do that, to pray and share. It is our corporate prayer and share time. And then, of course, you can also check out our podcast page there under the Listen link on our website. You can check out our video podcast. And from there, you'll see all of the video podcasts that we are putting up on YouTube. We've brought it to our website. And if you simply go to the Listen drop down video podcast, they're all there. And so now, instead of waiting on us putting up a podcast or two each week, you have access to all of the teaching podcasts all at once. And you have immediate access to podcasts we won't be getting to putting together for another year or two. So take advantage of our video podcast page. And tomorrow night on our premiere, our Friday premiere, we are going to be looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. That's our Friday night premier teaching, and we're encouraging you to join in on that. And then, of course, on Sabbath, we're going to be teaching on a prayer to be saved. Now, you certainly want to be early, we're on time at least, and listen, because I'm going to be dropping some nuggets on y'all, and I really know, I believe you're going to be inspired and blessed, and we're going to see that, you know, when it comes down to the sinner's prayer, that that's something that is made up, but they're actually a prayer to be saved found in the Bible, and we're going to look at it. All right? So that's what's going on here. We pray Father's blessings continually be with you. And if there are no other questions or comments or prayers, then we're going to bring our time together tonight to a close. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your presence here. We thank you for your goodness and your mercies and all that you do in the midst of us and for us. And we pray for your continual presence and blessings manifesting in our lives as your presence manifests in our lives. As we sleep, even minister to us. When we are awake, minister to us. Help us to be mindful of your presence 24/7. Help us to call on you and to inquire of you, to acknowledge you in our decision making, knowing that in the midst of that, you will direct us. And we look to your direction in Yeshua's name. Receive your blessings. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for joining in with us. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers, your support is greatly needed and appreciated. And we look forward to seeing you for our Sabbath premiere and then for our live Sabbath service. And until Shabbat, saints, remember, prayer and share. Until Shabbat, shalom. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3:11-12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.